Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. We have two final guests for K-State Day. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, John Kurtz will join us in studio for the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little Chiefs, we'll talk a little K-State, but we tried to have someone in studio each of the last couple of days at 5 o'clock. Aaron Ladd, who's a an MU grad, was on the show Tuesday. Brian Haney was on the show yesterday, and today John Kurtz will join us in studio for the 5 o'clock hour. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by, he might be the most knowledgeable person about Kansas State athletics in the entire world. Think about that. There is not a person that knows more about K-State athletics than our next guest. His name is Tim Fitzgerald. He is with GoPowerCat.com. Tim, always happy to have you join us on the show today. Let's start with this. We'll get to Avery Johnson. We'll get to the running back room. What do you view as K-State's biggest weakness heading into this season?
Oh, it's probably that offensive line. I think this is a really solid roster, but so much of what they can do on offense is reliant, of course, on an offensive line, and they're really having more replacements this year and replacing really good players than they have at any point, I think, during Chris Klieman's time. And they're going to need a couple guys to really step up, and if they provide the kind of protection that they need to, that this is going to be a really effective offense. But you can't have Avery Johnson running for his life and getting hit all the time either.
Maybe I'm off in this, and you obviously know this far better than me. It feels like Avery Johnson is one of the more anticipated prospects, certainly that I can remember. You know, highly recruited kid from the state of Kansas, had other options but chose to stay a Wildcat. It feels like there is a lot of hype and expectation for this prospect, greater than some of the ones I can remember in years past.
I think you're right. You know, a function of that is that social media is so much more prominent. I mean, I think Darren Sproles, people were pretty fired up for him, but nowhere at this level, because we got a little preview of Avery. We saw what he can do, and now people are really excited to see him unleashed, because he really wasn't unleashed last year. They were very careful with him. But yeah, I think you're right. I haven't seen fans a buzz like this about one player, a football player, in a very long time.
I'm looking at the quarterback situation, and you had a player in Will Howard who had all the experience, to going from a player who doesn't have a whole lot of experience. Like, for example, I mean, Will Howard threw 779 passes in a K-State uniform. Avery Johnson has thrown 66. Does that worry you at all about this team, that you go from a guy who went through all the trials and tribulations at K-State to a guy who is just starting his journey?
No, it doesn't. I think everyone who's been around Avery and seen him operate, he's really mature. He's kind of level-headed. He's going to make mistakes, but I also think he's going to learn pretty quickly from those mistakes and try to adjust his game. And, Will just decided he didn't want to fight Avery for the job, because, honestly, I think he expected to lose, because he was seeing it in practice like everyone else. So he moved on, landed very well at Ohio State, but it's quite interesting that early Heisman odds have two quarterbacks from K-State last year, and, you know, high up in the odds. So I think it's a real compliment to Avery, though, that everyone in that locker room expected him to be the starter this year.
Going back just a little bit, how do you think K-State fans are going to remember Will Howard's time in Manhattan?
Oh, he'll always be remembered for that title. I mean, he just played so well in 2022 and didn't quite get back to that level in 23 for whatever reason. And, you know, unfortunately lost his last game, which is not an ideal way for him to go out. But people will always remember him for that win in Arlington for TCU.
Right now we're talking to Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com. I think what would excite me most as a K-State fan about Avery is, I mean, if this thing works and he turns out to be the prospect that I imagine you and I both think that he can be, I mean, you might have one of the most dynamic players in college football. When you think about his ability to throw, with his ability to take off and run the football effectively, you might have one of the better weapons in college football in one or two seasons if this thing pans out.
Yeah, you're right. It's really interesting that he is so dynamic. And now you add in Dylan Edwards, who's not only another dynamic player out of the state of Kansas, but his best friend. And I think, you know, with the other tools like DJ Giddens and some of these receivers. Jace Brown, certainly, who's another freshman from last year, a true freshman that kind of gets forgotten because of Avery. You've got some great young talent that is going to be really hard on defenses. If they get into the option read with those three guys in the backfield, it's going to be extremely difficult for defenses to figure out how to handle this.
Maybe this is just my read on it from the outside looking in, but now I feel like Dylan Edwards is finally in the right place. I understand wanting to go to Notre Dame. I also get the appeal of going to Colorado and everything that was circling around that program. It feels like this is where Dylan Edwards was supposed to be from day one. He is a Wildcat.
Yeah, and I think he agrees with that. I haven't talked to him directly about it, but he committed to Notre Dame. It's my understanding that immediately some of the things he was told before his commitment didn't pan out the right way, and he was having to take a lot of classes to get into Notre Dame, which is a great academic school. And then Uncle Dion, who coached him as a youth football player in Dallas, gets the job at Colorado, and we all understood why it went, because it was basically like family, but it really didn't feel that way, I don't think, to Dylan. He told one of my guys that he just kind of doesn't do much in Boulder, and so... Him coming home seemed to be, there was no drama in that. We all knew where he was going to go.
That's how it should be. I don't know your stance on the transfer portal. Mine is, hey, I like it. I would maybe put a little bit of restrictions on the transfer portal. But, the portal exists for players like Dylan Edwards. Hey, I chose the wrong place. That was not in my best interest. Let me go to a school that is better suited for me.
Yeah, the portal's great. Now that they're kind of narrowing the windows, it makes it a little more manageable. You just can't operate business with players just jumping into the portal in midseason, and it's just really difficult to manage a football program. I hope they don't tighten them up more. They've been talking about, even restricting the days of the portal more. And let's let these kids do their thing with, some reasonable restrictions. But, yeah, I think you're right. I do get distressed by the players that are, four colleges in 4 years. And I worry about, how much schooling they actually got. Are they getting anything out of the college experience? Or they're just playing basketball and then they'll go work at the post office. I just don't know.
Right now we're talking to Tim Fitzgerald for GoPowerCat.com here. Let's stick with the run game here. This run game is exciting to me. I think K-State has multiple pros in the backfield. Giddens has a chance to be a pro at some point. Dylan Edwards, you think of the kind of prospect he was, and you saw flashes of it last year at Colorado. Their offensive line just didn't give you any chance to have success. This K-State run game, and you mentioned it with Avery Johnson's run ability, this could be one of the better rushing teams in college football this season.
Really could. Some variety there. And how they go about it. It's not like DJ is just a big bruiser, but he's got a little more girth to him, and he's a little harder to bring down. He's got great field vision, man. If he gets into the middle of the defense, he just sees the openings. He almost feels them and just heads through them. And Dylan is just so explosive, and he's a running back, but he's also a slot receiver. You can use him in punt return, kick return. You can do so much with him. I think he's going to be really maximized. I'm certain they're going to find ways to get all three of those guys in a backfield together because, as I said, that just opens up so many things the defense has to worry about.
Usually K-State kind of has one of those guys in that wide receiver room. You had Tyler Lockett. You had Jordy Nelson. You've had a couple of great receivers come through Manhattan. That guy doesn't jump off to me on the depth chart this year. How do you feel about that wide receiver room?
I think it's as solid as it has been since Klieman arrived. That's just been a position that hasn't been quite deep enough or talented enough, in my opinion, to compete at high levels. And I feel like they got the guys now. They've got, I mentioned Jace Brown, who I think is going to be a breakout star and with a full season now. But you still have Keegan Johnson, who's apparently healthy. You got Dante Cephas that is really promising and a freak athlete. And another former freshman, or maybe he did preserve his red shirt, Trey Spivey, who they're raving about. So they've got some really nice options at receiver, and I think Garrett Oakley is going to pick up some of the slack left by Ben Sinnott going to the NFL.
Tim, we've talked about this the last couple of days. So we did MU Day on Tuesday, and this is obviously a very anticipated season for them. Expansion of the college football playoff, wins 11 games last year. We did KU Day yesterday. You know, there's a hype and a buzz around KU's program. I guess, where is fan hype? Where is fan expectation for this K-State team heading into the year? K-State was picked preseason number 2 this year, so there obviously is a lot of outside expectation for the Kansas State football program. What is the expectation inside the program?
I think everyone is pointing to Arlington on getting back there. The entire athletic department feels about it really good about its position as we transition into what I'm calling the new 12. I mean, this is a 16-school conference where half the schools joined within the last year. So it's going to be wide open. I think Utah is extremely good, but Carrington, you've been around the Big 12. Someone's going to pop up and just do things that we never expected. I kind of expect it to be Iowa State, maybe. I think that K-State-Iowa State game at the end of the season in Ames could decide who goes down to Arlington. But yeah, with Jalen Daniels going, I'm telling you what, KU is going to be really scary good.
I was going to ask you this. Just from over the last couple of days, I know they have that game circled this year for obvious reasons. You know, the hope is, you know, have our quarterback healthy. It's in Manhattan. Hey, let's give ourselves a shot. This is the best KU team that they've had in 15 years. I'm wondering if that feeling is mutual. Does K-State, do fans, does the program have that game circled this year?
They always do. I mean, it hasn't just been the talent gap for why they won 15 in a row. And number 15 was a really good game, or, you know, that game went to the wire. And if you're a KU fan, I know that they feel like they should have won. And now they want to come to Manhattan and get it done, and that team's capable of it. So K-State's always valued this game more for whatever reason. I think it possibly is because, you know, half of K-State's roster is typically from Kansas, and that's not quite true at KU. But I think it's going to be an emotional, hard-fought game. It's going to be something else.
So looking at the K-State schedule, because you know this, I mean, a lot of college football obviously is the talent, it's the coaching, it's also the schedule and how it lines up. I think K-State has to love the schedule that they have. They have KU at home. They have Oklahoma State at home. They don't play Utah this year. You mentioned Arlington. That is a absolutely realistic goal given the schedule that they got this year.
Yeah, I agree. It's a weird schedule. Because if you look at it, there's like a 2-month period in the middle of the season where they have 2 home games. I mean, it's just a really odd way the schedule broke out. And, you know, because they finished with 2 out of 3 at home, and they only have 4 Big 12 games at home this year. So it's just a really strange schedule. And I feel bad for the fans because they're going to get games in the heat of Kansas and the cold of Kansas. And the prettier months in between, there's not much football in Manhattan.
So you would rank it this year, it sounds like, I guess in terms of games that are important, the home game against KU, it sounds like you would do at Iowa State. Are you maybe throwing at West Virginia, at Colorado in that conversation? Or is it the home game against Oklahoma State?
Yeah, it's Oklahoma State for me to join those other two, but you nailed it with West Virginia. They're just sneaky good, and I love their quarterback. And they've got both KU and K-State, I believe, going in there, so they've got to have those games circled as an opportunity to climb up the ladder in the Big 12.
The thing I appreciate most about K-State is the culture that they have built. Like in the NFL, you think about Pittsburgh Steelers and the defense and linebackers. Like you just know that they're always going to be a great defensive team. When I think of K-State, you think of discipline, well-coached, a certain level of run style, a certain level of physicality. Like, you've seen this thing built. How has K-State been able to do this exact same thing for 30 years and it works every single season?
Well, a lot of it's the quarterback run game. And Bill Snyder's entire offense, whether it was he was running spread basically when he got here. And then he got Michael Bishop and he pulled it in and started doing the quarterback run game. And kind of there's a reason it's called the Wildcat, because it's what he designed. But the entire offense, whether there's 5 wide or empty backfield with just the quarterback in a power run formation, it's about putting your best athletes in one-on-one situations to try to get advantageous matchups that you can win. That's why the Tyler Locketts and Darren Sproles and Deuce Vaughns have thrived at K-State, even though they're a little bit undersized, because you put them in space and let them go, and they win those battles. So that's how K-State went, you know, typically not as much raw talent on the field if you look at recruiting rankings. That's how they keep winning. They really do a great job of emphasizing their strengths and hiding their weaknesses.
Last question, I'll get you out of here. Colin Klein has now decided to be the offensive coordinator for Texas A&M. How surprised are you that he left? I got a chance to talk to him, I believe it was last year, and you could just hear the passion in his voice. He obviously loves K-State. A lot of the success that they've had on offense you can attribute to Colin Klein. He is one of the hottest, you know, under 35 coaching candidates in college football. How big of a loss is it that Colin Klein's not going to be there? Are you surprised that he left?
I am surprised he left, because he does have obvious passion for K-State. But I think the business side of him, and maybe his agent had a role in this, he's in such a good spot. If he goes to A&M and the new coaching staff really thrives and he puts up big numbers, Carrington, he's going to be a head coach. You know, in all likelihood, someone in the SEC will hire him. And that's probably well ahead of schedule if he'd stayed in Manhattan. So I think for his career, it was a good move. For his heart, it probably wasn't. They had a great setup here with the family and a farm. But, you know, you sometimes have to make those sacrifices to get where you want to go as a coach. And I always have said he'll be a head coach at K-State, but now I actually kind of doubt it. I think he might end up in the SEC or Big Ten and never leave. So we'll see how it all plays out over the long run. But I feel great about the hiring of Matt Wells. He's extremely knowledgeable, more experienced, and gives Avery another quarterback coach to teach him things that maybe the other guys didn't give him.
You obviously know Colin Klein far better than I do. It just feels to me a lot like a Roy Williams situation, that whenever that call comes, I think it's going to be really difficult for Colin Klein to say no. We obviously have no clue what could happen. Maybe he's the head coach at Florida and he gets that phone call. But, you know, if something happens to Klieman, or Klieman decides to step down or leave or whatever happens, I think it's going to be really hard for Colin Klein to turn down Manhattan.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was for Brad Underwood. He is in a great spot at Illinois, great money, great support, and a power, you know, one of the two conferences that we know is going to survive. And yet, he went to the wire thinking about coming back. There's a pull to Kansas State and Manhattan. It's a great community, and the fans are just highly invested, so we'll see. I mean, I don't know how long Chris Klieman's going to go, but there's other potential head coaches on his staff right now. I mean, I can name three or four that I think could be a head coach.
We've been asking people this all week. You're the first person I've got a chance to ask this to from Manhattan. Whenever people come in from out of town, what restaurant do you tell them to go to?
Oh, Taco Lucha, and get there early and be ready to wait. I mean, it's by far my favorite restaurant. It also is attached to So Long Saloon, the burger place that was the original spot. But yeah, Taco Lucha is just a cool vibe, great food. And it's not very big, but boy, they turn over tables because their service is amazing. And, you know, I've been outside in the little corral where you can drink beer and told 3 hours. And it was about two, but they had to flip the restaurant basically twice for us to get in. And they did it. It's an amazing place.
That is Tim Fitzgerald joining us on the show today. Tim, we got to have you on the show more this season. I mean, if this year goes the way that I think it could go for K-State, they could be one of the top 12 teams in college football and make the playoff.
Tell that Rob dude to call me, and let's get this set up.
We can do that.
He doesn't call me enough.
Tim, we can do that, man. I appreciate you.
Okay.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.